Greetings, friends. Welcome to St. David's Cathedral, Hobart. Whether you are from this fine city, state, or even country, as we gather around God's Word to be encouraged as followers of Jesus, you are most welcome. My name is Richard Humphrey. I'm the Dean here, and I'll be leading the service with the assistance of Katrina Johnson, our student minister. Bishop Richard Condy is our preacher today. The Reverend Sue Willis, the Northern Evangelism and Missions Coordinator, will lead our prayers. Ellie Firth, the Diocesan Assistant Registrar, will be our reader. Today in our reading, we'll be learning from 1 Peter how we are to live as followers of Christ in tough times and a hostile culture. Reference is made in that chapter to Noah, so we're filming in the northwest corner of the cathedral today with a window featuring Noah. In an ungodly society, he was known as a righteous and blameless man, and he trusted in God for his salvation. We pray that today's service will help you do the same. So let us hear from 1 Peter 3. The resurrected Jesus has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Friends in Christ, we come together to meet with God and to take our part in the building up of his church. We will lift our hearts in thanks and praise, hear from God's holy word, and pray for his world and for ourselves. The Bible tells us to approach God confidently through our Lord Jesus Christ. As we do so, we must confess our sins, seeking forgiveness through God's boundless goodness and mercy. The risen Jesus said that the scriptures had been fulfilled in his suffering and resurrection, and now repentance and forgiveness was to be announced in his name to all nations in the power of the Spirit. So, let us draw near to God with sincerity and confidence and pray together. God of all mercy, we humbly admit that we need your help. We have wandered from your way, we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and have failed to do what is right. You alone can save us. Have mercy on us, wipe out our sins, and teach us to forgive others. Bring forth in us the fruit of your Spirit, that we may live the new life to your glory. This we ask in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. God desires that none should perish, but that all should turn to Christ and live. In response to his call, we acknowledge our sins. God pardons those who humbly repent and truly believe the gospel. Therefore, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring us to God, we hear in 1 Peter. So, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Grace and peace be with you. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Shout to the rock of our salvation. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his face with songs of joy. As we come to hear the scriptures read, Heavenly Father, give us wisdom and understanding. As we listen to your word, may we know you better, love you more, and learn to please you in all we do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The New Testament reading from 1 Peter 3, verses 8 to 22. Finally, all of you, have unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay with a blessing. It is for this that you were called, that you might inherit a blessing. For those who desire life and desire to see good days, let them keep their tongues from evil and their lips from speaking deceit. Let them turn away from evil and do good. Let them seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defence to anyone who demands from you an account of the hope that is in you. Yet do it in gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight people, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you. Not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. Hear the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel, John chapter 14, verses 15 to 21. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Hear the word of the Lord.
Let's pray again as we come to God's word. Heavenly Father, may your word be our rule, your Spirit our guide, and your glory our supreme concern. In Jesus' name, amen. Cyprian was Bishop of Carthage in North Africa from the year 249 until his death as a martyr in 258. During his term as bishop, he faced what one writer called a plateful of problems. Internal conflicts in the church over theology and the sinful behaviour of Christians, and external pressure of violence towards Christians and the widespread persecution of the Christian church. On top of all of that, quite topically, a plague, possibly influenza, that saw a huge loss of life. 5,000 people a day in Rome at its height. Cyprian wanted to call Christians to live out their faith in a way that was biblical and true. He believed that this meant living the good news in such a way that others would see their lives and be attracted to the faith. He wrote a treatise that in part says this: Beloved brethren, we are philosophers not in words but in deeds. We exhibit our wisdom not by our dress but by truth. We know virtues by their practice rather than through boasting of them. We do not speak great things, but we live them. This quote comes from a book called The Patient Ferment, The Improbable Rise of Christianity in the Roman Empire. The book tells the story of how the church, by persistently and patiently living out the truths of their faith, won over the Roman Empire to Christianity. In some ways, the story could be a commentary on 1 Peter. Remember that our letter of 1 Peter is written to the church in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, at a time when it was not easy to be a Christian. They were suffering trials of many kinds, chapter 1. Chapter 4 will speak of the fiery ordeal that was to come. And he was writing to teach them how to live authentic Christian lives in the middle of this. Our passage this morning continues where we began last week, of how the Christian is to live in as an alien and exile in the world, and now especially in a world where there is suffering, evil, and abuse. There's much more to say about this than I have time for today, but I want to confine myself today to 3 observations and a grounding. It'd be great if you had your Bible handy and open to 1 Peter chapter 3. The first observation is about living good lives. It's summed up in verses 8 and 9. Finally, all of you have unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay with a blessing. It is for this you were called, that you might inherit a blessing. I suspect in these 2 verses, Peter is describing our behaviour inside the church and outside the church. Inside, 4 adjectives cluster around the central idea of love, literally brotherly love. Love for one another is the centre of Christian community, and that is attended on the one side by unity and sympathy, and on the other by tender-heartedness and humility. When we see the Christian church really living this brotherly and sisterly affection out, showing unity and sympathy and soft-hearted humility, it's a truly wonderful thing. In recent days, Helen and I have received so many instances of this kind of love. Care parcels arriving at our door, phone calls from long-distant friends, unified prayer supporting us and other believers, and great love. I hope that you've felt and have given some of that yourself in recent days. These are the marks of the alien and exiled life of believers as they live with one another. And it's how Christians live in the world that Peter turns to next. Do not repay evil for evil, he says, but on the contrary, repay with a blessing. As Christians live in a hostile world that's often against Christianity, shunning retaliation and embracing blessing is our distinctive life. Of course, this is not new to Peter. Our Lord Jesus said, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. Historian Rodney Stark, writing about the first century, makes this statement. He says, the fundamental problem of every religion is one of credibility. How one's faith is actually lived, whether it works or not to change our lives and our attitudes, is the true litmus test of faith. Does it make a difference? And Peter is here saying, yes, it does. He quotes Psalm 34 as the model in verses 10 and 11. Look at what he says. Those who desire life and desire to see good days, let them keep their tongues from evil and their lips from speaking deceit. Let them turn away from evil and do good. Let them seek peace and pursue it. His point is similar to the one made by Cyprian of Carthage. We are philosophers not of words but of deeds. We do not speak great things, we live them. The way we live among unbelievers matters. Make no mistake, your neighbours, your workmates, your friends, your family members are watching you, and your life communicates your truth. Sometimes everything in me wants to retaliate against injustice. Sometimes my sinful desires make me want revenge, or leads me to to contemplate evil. But as a citizen of heaven, Peter says to me, I should live an exemplary, good life and live to bless those around me. As he says in verse 16, keep your conscience clear so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. How we care for our neighbours and friends during COVID-19 matters. How we live out our faith with our speech and our conduct bears witness to the truth. Coronavirus is not the first plague. There was a plague during Cyprian's day, which was an opportunity for Christians to show sacrificial care. As pagans pushed the sick and dying out into the streets, Christians, with scant regard for their own lives, showed the love of Christ in providing care, some of them contracting the plague themselves as they nursed people back to health. And the effect of all this? Demonstration of love? Well, the church grew, didn't it? And people saw faith in action. I do take issue with Bishop Cyprian on one matter. When he says, we do not speak great things, but we live them, I think he misses an important point that Peter makes in verse 15, which is my second observation for how we live Christianly in a hostile world, and that is giving an account of hope. Listen to verses 15 and 16. I'm going to read them from the NIV. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. The point is that once the goodness of our lives has been drawn to the attention of the unbeliever, we ought to be ready to speak, to answer their questions. Cyprian is right that we need to live good lives, but not so right that we don't speak. Peter says we live such good lives first and then speak to give an account of the hope when we're asked. This speaking is translated in the NRSV as defence or an answer in the NIV. It translates the Greek word apologia, an apology, a reasoned response for why you believe what you believe. As a young Christian at university, I wanted to make sure that I was a Christian because of my own conviction and not as an accident of my upbringing. Reading all the apologetics I could get my hands on was formative as I explored my reasoned response for believing. And if you've never done it, can I recommend it? Get some evidence so that you can answer questions. I often ask people who are looking for ministry roles in the Diocese of Tasmania what they would say if someone on a bus asked them what they believed and why. I want to know what they would say before the person got off at the next stop. I reckon every Christian ought to be able to do that. 2 minutes flat, what do you believe and why? The question is, are you living such a distinctively hope-filled life, say in the face of coronavirus at the moment, that someone is going to ask you about your hope? And if asked, are you prepared to explain why you believe what you believe? As Peter says, always with gentleness and respect for those with whom you speak. My third observation for this text, for living Christianly in a hostile world, is bearing suffering. It's clear that Peter thinks Christians will suffer. All kinds of trials, he says in chapter 1. The fiery ordeal, he says in chapter 4. Evil and abuse in our text today. And listen to verse 14. He says, even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Or verse 17, it is better to suffer for doing good if suffering should be God's will than to suffer for doing evil. The point he makes is that the way we suffer matters for our testimony to the world. How the world will perceive the gospel of Christ will depend in some measure on the way Christians suffer. I have a book on my, at home on my shelf with the cheery title, Killing Christians, Living the Faith Where It's Not Safe to Believe. It's a book about martyrdom, the most intense form of suffering. And each story in the book tells the faith and witness of a modern Christian martyr in Somalia or the Gaza Strip, in Syria and so on. And they tell the stories of Christian martyrs and the witness that they make to the world as they go to their deaths. It's the same point that historian Rodney Stark makes about the credibility of Christian faith in the first centuries. Listen to what he says. Of all the proofs and all the testimonials, nothing approaches the credibility inherent in martyrdom. How could mere mortals remain defiant after being skinned and covered with salt, he asks. How could anyone keep the faith while being slowly roasted on a spit? Such performances seem virtually supernatural in and of themselves. And that was the effect they had on the observers. As one pagan wrote, their contempt of death is patent to us every day. My hope is that you'll never suffer by being skinned alive and covered with salt, or being roasted on a spit, or martyred in any form. But rest assured with Peter that the way we live confidently and hopefully through suffering, any suffering, but especially at the hand of unbelievers, we speak loudly about the God in whom we trust. Remember last week? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, conduct yourselves honourably among the Gentiles, among the pagans, so that though they malign you as evildoers, they may see your honourable deeds and glorify God when he comes to judge. Well, here are my three observations about living Christianly in a hostile world. Living good lives, giving an account of our hope, bearing suffering. But I also promised you a grounding for all these behaviours, and that is that they are all modelled on Christ, as we see from verses 18 to 22. Verse 18 says this, "For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit." Cast your eye down to verse 22. "Who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him." The point that Peter makes is Christ is the model, the grounding, the pattern of faithful living that we are called to among the pagans. His suffering for sins, the righteous one for the unrighteous many, to bring us to God. He has done that for us. His death and resurrection and ascension into heaven, guaranteeing our place, is motivation enough for all of this. Peter wants Christians to look to him for their motivation and hope. Now, the observant ones among you will notice that I jumped over some of the most difficult to understand words in the New Testament in verses 19 to 21, and I'm going to leave them for another day. Peter is calling the Christians of Asia Minor, the exiles of the dispersion, as he calls them, to live distinctive lives, modelled on Christ, good lives, giving account of our hope and bearing suffering in his name, so that others might be drawn to him. Will you join me in living like that today as exiles in our own world, so that we might win some for God? Would you join me as we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that we would be transformed by it, so that our lives of patient suffering, of goodness, of giving an account for the hope that's in us, might be so deeply attractive to people around us that they'll ask us and we'll be able to give an account of the hope that we have. And we pray that in your mercy you might use these things to draw people to yourself. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
As we seek peace and to live the good life, may the mind of Christ our Saviour live in each of us day by day.
Let us affirm our faith together with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Let us join together in the prayer which Jesus gave us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Be exalted, Lord, above the heavens. Let your glory cover the earth. Keep our nation under your care and guide us in justice and truth. Let your way be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Send out your light and your truth, that we may tell of your saving works. Have mercy on the poor and oppressed. Hear the cry of those in need. Hear our prayers, O Lord, for we put our trust in you. O God, you have prepared for those who love you joys beyond our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love for you, that loving you above all else, we may obtain your promises that exceed all we can desire, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. Let your requests be made known unto God. In everything, give thanks. God of power and love, we commend to you your household, the church. We pray that you will restore to your church everywhere the vision of winning the world for Christ by faithful preaching and teaching and by living as humble servants of one another. We pray that in every place on earth there may be a witness to your saving love and people may be gathered into your kingdom. Give wisdom and power to all who have left their homes in order to serve you to spread the gospel. We pray for our own diocese. We give you thanks for the leadership of Richard, our bishop. We pray for all the clergy and ask that you will continue to help them to speak your truth and to commend Jesus to their communities. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Reach out to our community through your people. We pray for those who think they know what your church stands for and so do not listen. Those who have closed their minds to you as they pursue their own ambitions, and those lost in despair and hopelessness. Father, we commend to you those who are struggling because of the coronavirus. Father, we ask that you would heal people. Father, that you would work through those who you've gifted as doctors and nurses. We pray for all those who work in our hospitals. Father, we pray for all the ancillary staff and thank you for them. We pray that you will continue to help people in Tasmania and in all places where they're receiving instruction from their governments, that they would take heed and take care. Father, that they would be concerned for the people around them. Father, we pray that you would stop the spread of this virus. Father, we're particularly aware of countries, of peoples who do not have good health care. Father, we ask that you would have mercy on them and heal them. Father, we pray that you would work through your church, especially for migrants in our land coming from many cultures and other religions. We pray for those seeking refuge from oppression. Father, may we who belong to your church be ever concerned to love them, to care for them. Father, we pray for those who are in detention, who have come seeking refugee status. Father, may our government have mercy on them. We pray for those who are in communities around this state, that you would help us to reach out to our neighbours, to families and friends, to strangers. Father, that you would help us to show your love and hope to all people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for our government, for the leaders of this land, Australia. We thank you for Elizabeth, our Queen. We pray that you would help her as she leads and steadies the Commonwealth. Father, we pray and give thanks for stable government in this country. We ask that you would help our leaders during this particularly pressured time. Father, we pray for our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, and for our Premier, Peter Gutwin. We thank you for their leadership. We pray that you would sustain them in this difficult time. Father, we ask that you would help all who make and administer law and order in our country. Father, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Forgive us, O Lord, for our selfish use of material and spiritual gifts. May we be prepared to share all your gifts with those in need. We pray for those who are permanently hungry, those with no medical care, and those who know no hope of improving their way of life. Father, have compassion on them. Reach out to them through your people, through your church. We pray for the spiritually deprived and the sick at heart. We pray for those who suffer because of mental illness. We pray for those who are facing fatal diagnoses. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would come to them so that they may come to know the great hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Faithful God, you have promised to hear the prayers of all who ask in Jesus' name. In your mercy, accept our prayers. Give us what we have asked in faith according to your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
As our service draws to a close, eternal God and Father, by whose power we are created and by whose love we are redeemed, guide and strengthen us by your Spirit, that we may give ourselves to your service and live this day in love to one another and to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you so much for being with us today. Our prayer is that this service will help you live good lives, be able to give an account of the hope which inspires such a life, and bear with suffering as we follow in the steps of Jesus, our example and our Saviour. If you'd like to know more about anything you've heard today or how to be a follower of Jesus, we'd love to help. There are courses, both online and as restrictions ease, in person, which explore the Christian faith and leading God's good life. You can find the details at anglicantaz.org.au or our website, saintdavids.org.au. There you will also find information about our live stream daily prayer services, noon prayers and Sunday evening prayer at 5:30. You'd be welcome to join us tonight, or you can watch later at your leisure. What has all this got to do with Noah? Good question. Peter saw a connection in his life of hope in a faithful God in a hostile world to which we also are called. When we feel the pull to complain or deceit or retaliation or anger, we should just say, Noah, and seek peace and set apart Jesus as Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.